Good evening. How many of you just want to whistle now? That's going to be stuck in your heads all night. So tonight, I'm talking about gifts. We all love gifts, right? I love gifts. I love getting gifts. I also want to talk about these. Legos. How many of you ever got a set of Legos as a gift? Huh? Yes. I remember getting Legos as gifts all the time growing up. My brother and I ended up with this crazy collection of Legos. In fact, it still sits. All of our Legos ended up in this big Rubbermaid tub, and it all still sits in my parents' garage, and they have told me that at some point they're going to haul it up here, and it will turn into Josiah's tub of Legos, which I'm sure he will be thrilled about. I'm sure we will eventually be thrilled about it. Anyone ever stepped on a Lego? Let's go there real quick. Yes. So they marketed them as these fun little toys for kids, but really, they were equipping kids in like Home Alone style, booby trapping their houses against intruders and parents and anyone else unlucky enough to walk by. And I have not stepped. Josiah doesn't have any Legos at this point, so I haven't stepped on any of his Legos, but I have stepped on a little Mickey Mouse, little red car that he had that I stepped right on it. It slid straight out from under my feet, and I had this flash of St. Peter's in front of some kind of beautiful-looking gate. But luckily, I caught myself, and I did not go say hi to him. I'm still here, still present. But I want to give you guys a brief history of Legos. Many of us have experience with Legos, whether it's building a set of Legos ourselves or stepping on them or having our kids play with them. But most of us are familiar with Legos. And tonight, the title of the message is A Perfect Fit. But I want to give you a brief history of Legos, right? Believe it or not, Legos, the company, started in 1932. It was a carpentry shop, and they were actually making wooden toys over in Europe. In 1942, 10 years later, their entire shop burned to the ground. Pretty tragic incident. However, it ended up being the best thing that ever happened to the company because when they rebuilt, they decided to go, instead of continuing to build wooden toys, they decided to purchase and start using a plastic injection molding machine. And in 1949, they called them automatic binding bricks. These little guys right here. The first of the automatic binding bricks came into being in 1949. In 1961, they came to America with huge success. It was an instant hit. And since then, 235 billion estimated Lego parts have been manufactured. They are currently the fourth largest toy manufacturer in the world. And Lego today currently employs over 5,000 people and produces over 33,000 bricks every minute. They're popping these things out. 33,000 bricks every minute. And somebody is laughing all the way to the bank because I don't know how much it costs to produce this little brick, but all of us know how much those Lego sets cost if you ever bought them as gifts for somebody. But Legos, you gotta love them. They're super fun. I remember many an argument with my brother playing Legos growing up because you always want the best pieces, right? And my brother, being older, invented a game that, of course, he would always win at. All the games he invented were stacked in his favor, and I understand why that is, but being the age I was, I did not see the intent, and so I just agreed to go along with all of his games. We had this ridiculous game, and this isn't in my notes, but I would just love to share it. This is a venting moment for me. We had this ridiculous game where we would take a Lego tire, and one was one of the big hefty ones, and we would build pirate ships out of Legos, and we would take this tire and we would put our boats on the opposite side of the room and we would just throw this tire as hard as we could at the other person's pirate ship. And the last boat standing wins, right? And we just try to blow up the other person's pirate ship. And unbeknownst to me, until I got a little older and a little wiser, when my brother invented this game, he went through and picked out all of the little thin Legos, the thinner ones, and he built his entire boat interlaced with these little thin Legos, and all he left me were the big, thick bricks that, like, whatever boat I could build, it would just explode in a million pieces with one hit, and I would just peg his boat from across the room, and nothing would happen. No parts would fly off whatsoever. I just thought I was terrible at this game. I used to get so mad, but it's all his fault, really, ultimately, is what it boils down to. Besides the point, tonight we're talking about Legos and we're talking about gifts, right? We're going to go on, dive into both of those things. And I want to encourage you with a passage of scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to join me there. That's where we're heading. Our text will be in 1 Corinthians 12. And I want to go through some truths we can learn from this passage of scripture and from these wonderful little plastic automatic binding bricks called Legos. That's where we're going tonight. So let's go ahead and pray together before we dive into the word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege that it is to be here to gather together as a church family in freedom, without fear, to hear from your word, to worship you, to be in your presence, God. I pray that you would speak to us tonight through your word. I pray that it would be transformational. Lord, I pray that you would change the way we think, the way we approach our daily lives. Lord, we love you, and it's in your name we ask all these things. Amen. Amen. So 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're heading, and I just appreciate Pastor Dave and the opportunity to preach. Definitely don't take it lightly anytime I get to fill Pastor Dave's pulpit here on a Sunday night. It is a huge, huge privilege. So 1 Corinthians 12, if you'll join me there, we're going to start in this whole chapter. Let's start there. This whole chapter is an exploration of the spiritual gifts, right? And let's start in, just so we don't have to read the whole chapter. The chapter starts out talking about how there's different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all, right? Let's go down to verse 12 and start there. And this is the analogy that Paul is making with gifts and the church and the human body. And verse 12 starts and says, "The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ," which is us, the church. "Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, 'I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand,' that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, 'I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye,' would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, 'I don't need you.' The head can never say to the feet, 'I don't need you.'" Verse 18 is really where I want us to put our focus. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Another translation reads like this on the screen. "But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be." And I love that. I love the way that's phrased. And so let's dive into a couple truths here. Number one, there is an overall design in mind. When you buy that Lego set and you gift it to a child, to yourself, maybe some of you are huge Lego fans, buy yourself a Lego set, why not? You open up the box, you dump it out, it's got the plastic bag that's full of all the parts, and then it's got this manual, it's got this instruction booklet, right, that tells you step by step how to put all those little pieces together to build the set that you have purchased, whether it's a Batmobile, which may just be Josiah's first Lego set. I don't know. A majestic castle. I don't know what you would be building, but you have the instruction manual that tells you exactly how to reproduce what's on that box, what's on the front of that box that you wanted to buy and build. It's basically IKEA for kids, except more fun. Ideally, unless, of course, as you're putting it together, you lose that crucial part in like your shag carpeting, and it's that small piece that you can't find, and so you're looking all over for it, and then later on you're running the vacuum, and you hear, and you're just thinking, there it was the whole time. Take the vacuum apart, there it is. Anyways, IKEA is fun. If you've never built anything, that's Legos for adults, and really fun. When you're building that, following the instructions, putting every piece exactly where they tell you, and they get very specific, trust me, on where each little Lego fits to reproduce that exact model. As you go through those instructions, maybe you do lose a piece. And especially if it's a small piece, you might think, well, it's not really going to affect it, right? That's not that big of a deal. The overall thing is still intact. Maybe. The reality is that one missing brick may not seem like that big of a deal, but your end product is not going to match the original intended design. It just won't, because you're missing a piece that was designed to be there, right? Now, having a 2.5-year-old, we find toys all over the place. Most of the time under our couches. I don't know how they get there, but everything winds up under the couch. If we're missing a toy, I start lifting up couches and looking under couches, because there's gonna be something down there with all the dust bunnies and everything else that collects under there. I don't know how all this stuff happens to get under there, but couches, under the couch is where to look, because there's always some toys down there. Now, if I were to lift up the couch and find under that couch that one lost brick, that one lost Lego piece, say it's this one right here, or maybe this little small one, this little two-prong one. I find this lost Lego. There under the couch, this lost Lego is not fulfilling the purpose for which it was placed in that set. While at the same time, that set is not finding wholeness without this piece, right? This morning, we sang a song, and Jen mentioned a truth that was echoed throughout the whole morning this morning, was that in my Father's house, there's a place for me. In your Father's house, there's a place for you. And that's an incredible truth to understand. There's a place for you, and there's a place for your gifts, your specific giftings within the body of Christ and the mission of God. There's a specific place for you. Because I believe that God is way more intentional and way more specific, and a way better designer than my friends over at Lego, or IKEA, or anywhere else that comes out with these manuals and these instruction booklets. God is an intentional God. And that leads me to my second truth from Legos in 1 Corinthians 12, is that there is intentionality to every single piece. There's intentionality. And how God has placed those pieces. You see, Legos are designed to connect. They're designed to connect. And I did not realize this about Legos, but I was doing some research. Lego makes over 3,000 different types of pieces, different types of elements. And yet, they're all designed to work together. They're all designed to connect. And in fact, if you were to go to the store today, inspired by this Lego boat that I'm showing you tonight, and maybe you just think, man, I would love to play with some Legos tonight, and you go to the store right after church, and you buy yourself a Lego set, and you take it home, here's the truth. You take that set home, that set you bought today will fit together and work perfectly with a set maybe you bought back in 1961 when Lego first came to America. It's going to fit and function together the exact same way because every piece was designed to connect in the same way. And that's a powerful truth to understand. Mark Cox mentioned it this morning. We were designed to connect as people, all of us. We were designed to connect. We were designed to connect to God. We were designed to connect in community with one another. Our God is a relational God. When Adam and Eve were created, there was a massive relational component to that. It is built into who we are as people. We are built to connect. And that is hugely important. And here's the truth. We need each other. And a lot of times, we tend to create artificial separations, and we put labels, and we build walls, and this is what we do as people, right? But this is what I love about our church. Our church is a multi-generational church, and sometimes we create segments of people, and there's reason for that. But the reality is we've got to understand that not only can we, but there's value and there's benefit to us connecting to anyone and everyone that God has placed us in the body with. You think about a human body, right? I might not think that my finger is necessarily connected to my head, but it is. You know what I'm saying? It's the same body. It's one body. My finger's connected to my hand, it's connected to my arm, it's connected, you know, eventually it's all connected. But the reality is we have so much to invest in one another and so much to learn from one another and so much value within one another. Let's just be honest, you know. I'll speak from a student perspective. Listen, next month I'm turning 33. It is intimidating. I'll be honest. I'm a youth pastor, and sometimes it's intimidating for me to talk to teenagers. They're scary people. Right? But as a young person, sometimes it's intimidating to talk to people older than you. Because there's this element of, well, I'm a kid, you know. So sometimes we fail to connect when in reality we were designed to connect to every single part of the body, and there's value there. There's intentionality to each piece and to how God has placed those pieces to intentionally fit together. Here's the truth. If you took that Lego set, bought it, opened it up, let's say it's the Batmobile, right? You buy it, open it up, dump all those pieces out on the floor. As you open that box and dump them all out on the floor, you don't automatically immediately have a Batmobile. You have a pile of pieces. You have a pile of plastic automatic binding bricks, right? That's what you have. Now, in order to have the Batmobile that's on the front of the box, it's going to take some effort and some intentionality to build that, right? It's going to take some effort and some intentionality to connect the pieces and make them fit. Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort and a little bit of work. In fact, I'm going to share you a little secret about myself tonight. I love a good deal. I'm a deal shopper. My favorite thing when I'm shopping is Kohl's clearance. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about here. Because when they have the 90% off, I may never wear it. But if it's an $80 shirt for sale for $2, I'm going to buy it. That's a phenomenal deal. You can't beat it, right? And so these shoes that I'm wearing right now, I kid you not, I bought these shoes at DSW, Designer Shoe Warehouse, clearance section. They have a clearance section. It's amazing. I bought these shoes 90% off. These shoes were like 90, whatever they say they're supposed to be worth, right? And who knows how much they actually are worth. But the ticket, the value of these shoes was 90 bucks, right? And so it was however much off. I ended up paying like $10 for these shoes. But they were a size too small. A full size. I wear a 10, they're a 9. And I was like, you know what? I probably can make it work. They're leather. Like, I'll break them in, right? And so for like three, and Jen can attest, Jen made fun of me throughout this whole process. And here I am standing in victory. This is my vindication moment. No, because she mocked me through this whole process. And so, so for 3 weeks, I wore these shoes thinking, I'm going to break these in. And every time, I'd wear them for service, and then afterwards, my feet would be in so much pain. I'd just be like, I'd take them off, and I'd be like, oh, that feels so good. It was just, it hurt so much. And so then someone, in fact, I think it was one of the Osbournes, maybe it may have been Cole or Carolyn, or one of them said, why don't you get one of those little shoe stretcher devices? So I'm like, well, let me look into that. So I hop on Amazon and I buy the shoe stretcher, the cheapest one they got. I found a $10 shoe stretcher. So I'm $20 in on this pair of shoes, a $90 pair of shoes. I'm 20 bucks in. So I set those shoe stretchers in and I crank those things out and they're just, that fills out that shoe and I make it nice and tight and I let it sit for a few days and I'm thinking, next time I wear these shoes, it's going to be amazing. And let me tell you, $20 in, and these shoes feel like I'm walking on air. It's incredible. Jen said this. She said, why not just get a $20 pair of shoes that fits? go buy the $20 size 10 and wear that instead of going through all the trouble. But here's the truth. Sometimes all it takes is a little effort and a little intentionality. You can make it fit. What I say all that to say this. There's intentionality behind why you are where you are. God is an intentional God. I told our students, we just got back from taking some of our students to a youth workers conference in Oklahoma City, and it wrapped up. And we all sat down and I told them, listen, none of you are here by accident or coincidence. Because sometimes we go through life and we just think, well, this is a set of circumstances has brought me here. This is how the cookie has crumbled, right? God is way more intentional than that. I said, you may just think it's, I had nothing to do this weekend, or, you know, it just sounded fun, and so I'm here. But I said, no, you're here for a very specific purpose, and God has you here for a reason. And I look around at this church, and I think the exact same thing. Because God is an intentional God, and God has done this with us. God has intentionally placed us together and placed us in the seasons that we're in. The season you're facing right now, God has intentionally place you there, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not. And it's easy to think that. It's easy to believe that about like the big things in life. Because I remember growing up and thinking, you know what? God, I'm going to trust God. He's going to direct my paths, right? And, you know, God has this incredible person that someday I'm going to marry. And God's got that under control. And we're going to have kids, this family. It's going to be fantastic. And it was easy to like understand, like, okay, God's in control of that. And then, when you're in the moment, like, it feels like when I first met Jen, it felt like I'm just crossing paths with this person at college, you know? But in reality, there was so much intentionality that God put to cause our paths to collide. So it's easy to believe in the intentionality of God for distant things things far off in the horizon. God's got it. He's sovereign. He's under control. He's got a plan. This is good. But things happening in the moment, it's way easier to think, well, you know what? This is just how the cookies crumbled for me. Like, this is just what's happening. This is my luck, right? Could it be that God has intentionally placed you in a season that maybe you find frustrating, maybe it seems seemingly purposeless to you? But here's the truth. All of us are sitting here together, while I'm standing, all of us are here together at Claremore Assembly of God, February 24th, on a Sunday night, as part of this church. And you can either say, well, this is just where I attend, or you can find incredible intentionality behind that. God has placed me here with these people for such a time as this. And there are specific events happening in our community. There are specific people that are coming into our spheres of influence at your workplace and in school and all these places. You are strategically placed where you're at, the season you're in, the church you're in, the people you're with, to make an incredible impact. God has placed the pieces, the parts of the body, just as He would have them to be. Here we are. So we can think, well, this is just the people I go to church with. Or we can think, this is the body of Christ. And how do we work together as the body of Christ to accomplish the mission of God? What role do I play? What connections can I make to see this mission come to pass? Very last thing, and this is what I'm going to close with. There's an overall design in mind. There's intentionality to every piece, and there's a purpose for the design. There's a purpose for it. That Batmobile, when you build it, you're supposed to be able to wheel it across the ground, play little Batman scenarios out, be the superhero, super fun, the best superhero of all. Just throw that out there. If you've never seen the Lego movie, I like shows of hands because I'm a youth pastor, so I'm always asking people to throw their hands up. How many of you have seen the Lego movie? Let's just show hands. Okay, quite a few. So if you haven't, I'm sorry, but I'm going to spoil it for you. Now, how many of you have ever spoiled a movie for someone and got an adverse reaction? Like you're just talking about the movie. Yeah, exactly. You're talking about the movie and you're just like, well, this is what happened. How many of you, that's happened to you, and it's like years after the movie has come out? So you're talking about it, and someone's like, oh, spoiler alert, I was going to watch that. And you're thinking, well, sorry, because it's 10 years later, and there's no way you're going to see it. So if you haven't already watched the Lego movie, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil some of it for you. I will apologize to you in person later on. You can come and talk to me. I'm not going to tell you exactly how it ends, but I will tell you this. When you watch the Lego movie, one of the big themes of the movie is this guy who's building Lego sets, and he glues them together, and he sets up this whole thing, and no one's supposed to touch it, right? It's just supposed to look really cool. And one of the themes of the movie is the purpose of these Legos is to play with them. Like, the purpose here is to play. And so one of the cool themes of the movie is kind of like encouraging you to get back to playing, right? And my little man helps me with this, because sometimes I walk in the room, sometimes he doesn't even say hi or acknowledge me or anything. I walk in the room and he says, Daddy, play! That's just the first thing out of his mouth. Daddy, play! And then he tells me exactly where to sit and what to do and what to play with and what I can't play with. But he says, Daddy, play! Right? So he helps me get back to playing. But one of the major themes of the Lego movie is that the whole purpose behind these toys is to play with them. Our purpose as a church, as the body of Christ, the whole reason this thing was established, let's throw it way back to the ascension of Christ, he said, go now, therefore. Our purpose as a church is to go. That's why chapter 13 follows chapter 12 in the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12 is all about the spiritual gifts, right? And it gives us all the cool lists, and it gives us, you know, it gives us the spiritual gifts. It also talks about, you know, teaching and encouraging and serving and all of this. It gives us all this really cool stuff that we can do, right? All these amazing gifts. And then it follows it with chapter 13 and says, now let me show you the most excellent way, because you can do all of this stuff, and if it is not about people, then we lose, right? If it's not love. Chapter 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter, right? So if I do all these great, you know, service and gifts and all this kind of stuff, but I don't love people, I don't love, it's nothing. It's pointless. So the reality is that God has, I want to encourage you with this tonight. God has given you exclude yourself from this statement, because it includes everybody. Everybody in the church, God has given you a very specific set of gifts to utilize within his body and within his mission. He has given every person unique and specific gifts, right? These gifts were also meant to serve us a unique and specific purpose. And some of these gifts are in place to edify the church, so that we can more effectively be the church. But there's a huge chunk of these gifts that were not meant to stay in the church. But a lot of times when we think of exercising the gifts, we think in church. I'm going to exercise the gifts while I'm in church. But the reality is, the whole purpose the gifts are given is for us to fulfill our mission as a church, which is to go. God has given us gifts to exercise and use to reach people. So we're going to close like this. It's a very simple call tonight. I'm going to go ahead and invite Jen forward. We're going to open up the altars for just a moment. We literally just have a minute or two left tonight. And what I want to ask is a very simple thing. It's not going to take a long, long time. But I want us, the invitation is this. It's to come and ask God one question. How can I use the unique and specific gifts that you've given me tomorrow morning, Monday morning, at school, at work, at home, wherever else, to go, to serve you, God, to serve one other person, to serve the mission? How can I use my gifts? And just let him speak to you. Let him give you one way. And if you don't know what your gifts are, let me encourage you, just pray for one action step. And I would almost guarantee you that action step is going to have something to do with your giftings, because God's given you giftings to use you in those giftings to be effective for his kingdom. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know if you're, maybe you're in a season of just winning, and you just feel like everything's great, and things are awesome, and you're reaching the world for Jesus. More power to you. If you feel frustrated in your season, maybe you feel stuck. Maybe you feel stagnant. Maybe you feel a lack of purpose. Maybe you just feel confused. Why? Why am I in this season? Why does it look the way it does? Regardless of where you're at, hear this tonight. God has you where you're at. We are together as members of this body for a purpose. Our God is far too intentional a God to just throw pieces in the box and hope that something cool comes out. Like, if Lego did that, they would no longer be in business. Like, you can't just dump pieces out of the box and, well, somehow I'm going to build a Batmobile. No, like, they're very intentional about what is actually inside that box, and God is way more intentional. And here we are, Claremore Assembly of God, all here together, all from different walks of life, all from different places. How did I get here from Fairbanks, Alaska? I don't know. put God threw me in the box. How did you get here from where you're at? Every single one of us has a story. Some of them are weirder than others, but we all have a story of how we got here. God put us in the box. He's got a design for Claremore Assembly and our impact in this community. And all of us are pieces that he designed specifically to fit in a specific spot, and he put us in the box. What an honor. And I'm telling you, without you filling that spot, that end result's not going to look like the original intended design. So tonight, no matter what season you're in, Lord Jesus, how can I use the gifts you've given me specifically and intentionally to reach people through this body tomorrow morning? Jen and I are going to sing just one song, and I'm going to open up the altars. And if we could, it won't take long. But if you want to come to the altar, that's fine. If you want to make your seat an altar, that's fine. But I just encourage you to ask that question. Lord, give me one thing I can use my gifts in tomorrow morning, and let him speak to you. And then I'll close this out. The altars are open.